Now in a cartoon, three seagulls fly through gray clouds, then swoop down over the ocean. Below, smiling dolphins leap through the waves in arcing jumps. The three dolphins stop, and a seagull lands beside them on the surface. Behind them, a sailing ship looms out of the mist. The ship's huge wooden prow heads straight for us, then cruises past us over the ocean. On board, burly sailors haul in a net full of fish from the water.
I'll tell you a tale of the bottomless blue, and it's hey to the starboard heave-ho. Look out, madam, mermaid, be waiting for you.
A dark-haired young man stands on deck.
Isn't this great? The salty sea air, the wind blowing in your face. Perfect day to be at sea.
Delightful.
A fine, strong wind and a following sea. King Triton must be in a friendly-type mood.
King Triton?
Why, ruler of the mer-people, lad. Thought every good sailor knew about him.
Mer-people. Eric, pay no attention to this nautical nonsense.
But it ain't nonsense. It's the truth. I'm telling you, down in the depths of the ocean, they live.
The sailor waves a fish in the old gentleman's face. The orange fish wiggles free and drops over the side of the ship. Underwater, he looks up at the ship and blows out a stream of bubbles. He slumps wearily for a moment, then smiles and speeds downward, leaving a trail of silvery bubbles. On the ocean floor, seaweed sways gently, and brightly colored sea flowers cover a rock ledge. As the fish swims past, they disappear, then bloom again when he's gone. Words appear in shimmering, watery letters. Walt Disney Pictures presents The Little Mermaid. The fish winds between curving rocks covered with bright flowers. Near the ocean floor, a whale swims with two calves. The fish is smaller than the whale's eye. Now, in a landscape of coral and seaweed, mer-people swim. The mermaids and mermen look like people, but instead of legs, they each have a long flipper, like a dolphin's. They speed over the ocean floor, gently waving their flipper tails. Swimming through a tunnel, they reach a shining gold and silver palace with pearls decorating its front gates. They go inside and take seats in a grand underwater concert hall. Bright fish with trumpet noses line up on the stage. A tiny seahorse with a ruffled collar appears.
His Royal Highness, King Triton!
Dolphins pull a shell chariot into the concert hall. A broad-chested merman with long white hair and a white beard rides in the chariot, holding a three-pronged trident. Sparks shoot from his trident and light a chandelier.
And presenting the distinguished court composer, Horatio Felonius Ignatius Crustaceus Sebastian!
A tiny red crab rides in a snail shell pulled by two goldfish. He pulls up beside King Triton.
I'm really looking forward to this performance, Sebastian.
Oh, Your Majesty, this will be the finest concert I have ever conducted. Your daughters, they will be spectacular.
The fish flip him upside down.
And especially my little Ariel.
Yes, yes. She has the most beautiful voice.
If only she'd show up for rehearsals once in a while.
Sebastian rides his small shell chariot out over the stage. A spotlight shines on him as he drifts downward and lands on a platform made of an oyster shell. He pulls out a giant book of music and sets it in front of him. Glancing at the orchestra, he floats up and taps his music stand. The fish orchestra gets ready.
Our queen of the daughters of Triton. Great father who loves us and named us well. Aquata. And freedom.
The sisters swim out of giant clam shells.
Athena. Adela. Anana. Is the youngest in her musical debut.
A closed shell rises in the middle of the stage.
To sing a song Sebastian wrote, her voice is like a bell. She's our sister, Ariel.
The shell is empty. King Triton scowls.
Ariel!
Out in the ocean, a young mermaid swims up to a wooden crossbeam, smiling.
Ariel, wait for me.
Flounder, hurry up.
A chubby fish with stripes joins her.
No, I can't swim that fast.
There it is.
A sunken ship.
Isn't it fantastic?
Yeah, sure. It's great. Now let's get out of here.
Oh, you're not getting cold fins now, are you?
Me? No way.
He follows Ariel to the ship.
It looks damp in there. Yeah. And yeah, I think I may be coming down with something. Yeah, I got this cough.
All right, I'm going inside. You can just stay here and watch for sharks.
Okay. Yeah, you go. I'll stand.
What? Sharks? Ariel!
He tries to squeeze through a small Ariel. Porthole window, but gets stuck.
I mean, Ariel, help!
Oh, Flounder.
Ariel, do you really think there might be sharks around here? Flounder, don't be such a guppy.
A huge shark passes behind them as Flounder squeezes into the ship.
This is great. I mean, I really love this. Excitement, adventure, danger lurking around every corner.
He sees a skull. Wooden beams fall down.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah, sure. No problem. I'm okay.
Shh.
Ariel swims to an upper room and gazes at something resting atop a heap. A silver fork.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Have you ever seen anything so wonderful in your entire life?
Wow, cool. But, what is it?
Oh, I don't know, but I bet Scuttle will.
What was that?
Outside, the shark passes.
Did you hear something?
I wonder what this one is.
Ariel.
Flounder.
Will you relax? Nothing is going to happen.
The shark stares through a window. The giant shark crashes through the window, snapping its sharp teeth at them. They swim to an upper deck. The shark breaks through the floor. Flounder and Ariel race away as the shark chomps along behind them. Flounder swims toward one of the small portholes.
Oh, no!
He gets jammed in the window. Ariel pushes him through, then wriggles out behind him. The shark bursts through the wall and chases them around the ship's tall mast. Flounder bumps into a crossbeam. The shark lunges at Flounder, but misses as Flounder sinks toward the bottom with a dazed smile. Ariel spots him and swims down to scoop him up. The shark races toward them, but his head gets stuck in a big ring at the top of an anchor.
You big bully!
The shark snaps his teeth.
Flounder, you really are a guppy.
They swim toward the surface. On a tiny island, a googly-eyed seagull looks through a telescope. He sticks the telescope on his head.
Whoa! Mermaid off the port bow!
He looks through the telescope's big end, making Ariel seem farther away than she is.
Whoa, what a swim!
Scuttle, look what we found!
Yeah, we're in this sunken ship, and it was really creepy.
Human stuff, huh? Hey, let me see.
He drops an anchor. It knocks him down from his perch. Rummaging through Ariel's bag, he takes out the fork.
Look at this. Wow. This is special. This is very, very unusual.
What? What is it?
It's a dingle hopper. Humans use these little babies.
He almost drops it.
To straighten their hair out. See, just a little twirl here and a yank there, and boy, oh, like. Yeah, I got an aesthetically pleasing configuration of hair that humans go nuts over.
A dingle hopper.
What about that one?
Ah, this.
He picks up a pipe.
I haven't seen in years. This is wonderful. A banded, bulbous snarfblatt.
Oh.
Now, the snarfblatt dates back to prehistorical times when humans used to sit around and stare at each other all day. Got very boring. So, they invented this snarfblatt to make fine music. Allow me.
He blows out seaweed.
Music!
It's stuff!
Oh, the concert! Oh, my gosh, my father's gonna kill me! The
concert was today?
Maybe you can make a little planner out of it or something.
I'm sorry. I've gotta go. Thank you, Scuttle!
Anytime, sweetie. Anytime.
Ariel and Flounder dive underwater and swim quickly downward. Beneath a rock ledge, two large eels with sharp teeth slither out from the shadows. As they watch, an image of Ariel appears in a witch's glowing magic bubble.
Yes, hurry home, princess. We wouldn't want to miss old Daddy's celebration, now would we? Ha! Celebration indeed. Oh, bah! In my day, we had fantastical feasts when I lived in the palace.
She's fat with octopus legs.
And now look at me. Wasted away to practically nothing. Banished and exiled and practically starving. While he and his flimsy fish folk celebrate. Well, I'll give them something to celebrate soon enough. Flotsam! Jetsam!
The eels.
I want you to keep an extra close watch on this pretty little daughter of his. She may be the key to Triton's undoing.
At Triton's throne, Sebastian the crab and Flounder the fish stand by Ariel.
I just don't know what we're going to do with you, young lady.
Daddy, I'm sorry. I just forgot.
As a result of your careless behavior...
Careless and reckless behavior.
The entire celebration was...
Well, it was ruined. That's all. Completely destroyed. This concert was to be the pinnacle of my distinguished career. No thanks to you, I am the laughingstock of the entire kingdom.
But it wasn't her fault. The shark chases. Yeah. And we tried it, but we couldn't. And then we were safe. But then the seagull came, and it was this is this, and that is that. And...
Seagull? What? Oh, you went up to the surface again, didn't you? Didn't you?
Nothing happened.
Oh, Ariel, how many times must we go through this? You could have been seen by one of those barbarians, by one of those humans.
Daddy, they're not barbarians.
They're dangerous. Do you think I want to see my youngest daughter snared by some fish eater's hook?
I'm 16 years old. I'm not a child.
Don't
anymore.
You take that tone of voice with me, young lady. Well, as long as you live under my ocean, you'll obey my rule.
But if you would just listen.
Not another word. And I am never, never to hear of you going to the surface again. Is that clear?
Ariel's lip quivers. She swims away with Flounder behind her. Triton rests his head in his hand.
Teenagers. They think they know everything. You give them an inch, they swim all over you.
Do you think I was too hard on her?
Definitely not. Why, if Ariel was my daughter, I'd show her who was boss. None of this flitting to the surface and all of such nonsense. No, sir, I'd keep her under tight control.
You're absolutely right, Sebastian.
Of course.
Ariel needs constant supervision.
Constant.
Someone to watch over her, to keep her out of trouble.
All the time.
And you are just the crab to do it.
Sebastian's eyes bug out. Later, he crawls away.
I put myself into these situations. I should be writing symphonies, not tagging along after some headstrong teenager.
He sees Ariel outside the palace. She takes her bag from Flounder and swims away.
Hmm? What is that girl up to?
Sebastian follows them, flapping his claws quickly. He stops to rest. Ahead of him, Ariel rolls back a rock, covering an opening to a cave, and swims inside with Flounder. As Sebastian tries to slip in behind them, the rock rolls shut onto his legs. He pulls himself free and bounces into the cave, bumping into a big hourglass. He He looks up at the cave's high walls and sees shelves full of dishes, clocks, vases, and parts of ships. Ariel floats near the bottom, sadly gazing at the fork.
Ariel, are you okay?
If only I could make him understand. I just don't see things the way he does. I don't see how a world that makes such wonderful things could be bad.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you think, sure, she's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's its and what's its galore. You want thingamabobs? I got 20.
Corkscrews.
But who cares? No big deal. I want more.
Sebastian frowns and stays out of sight.
I want to be where the people are. I want to see, them dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Oh, feet. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along down a... What's that word again? Street. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering free. Wish I could be part of that world.
Sebastian sees a giant reflection of himself on a vase. He hides.
What would I pay to spend a day warm on the sand? Betcha on land, they understand that they don't reprimand their daughters. Bright young women, sick of swimming, ready to stand and ready to know what the people know. Ask them my questions and get some answers. What's a fire and why does it, what's the word, burn? When's it my turn? Wouldn't I love to explore that shore up above, out of the sea? Oh, wish I could be part of that world.
As Ariel's long red hair flows in the water around her, she gazes up at light shining through a hole at the top of the cave. A beer stein rolls off a shelf with Sebastian caught inside. It breaks and he bounces out, landing in a pile of junk with a pipe stuck in his mouth.
Sebastian!
Flounder hides. Sebastian spits out the pipe.
Ariel, what are you? How could you? What is all this?
It's just my collection.
Oh, I see. Your collection. If your father knew about this place,
he... You're not going to tell him, are you?
Oh, please, Sebastian. He would never understand.
Ariel, you're under a lot of pressure down here. Come with me. I'll take you home and get
a shadow passes over the ceiling hole.
What do you suppose?
Ariel?
She swims out.
Ariel!
Waving her tail fin, she swims upward toward a ship. Above the surface, fireworks shoot from the ship, bursting into sparkling, flower-like shapes. As Ariel watches, Flounder and Sebastian surface beside her.
Ariel, what are you... Jellyfish.
Ariel dives across the water toward the ship.
Ariel! Ariel! Please, come back!
She climbs up the side of the ship and peeks through an opening, eye level with the deck. Two burly sailors play a squeeze box and a fiddle as the others dance. A sheepdog with shaggy gray and white fur scampers around the dancers. Ariel smiles. Suddenly, the dog stops and raises his nose in the air, then sniffs along the deck toward Ariel. She ducks. As she turns back to the opening, the dog licks her cheek with his big wet tongue.
Max! Here, boy!
Max, the dog, runs to Eric, the dark-haired young man. Ariel touches her cheek.
Hey, come on, mutt. What you doing, huh, Max? Come on, Max. Good boy, good boy.
Ariel watches Eric with a dreamy, wide-eyed stare. Her small mouth curls up in a smile.
Winnie! Quite a show, eh?
Scott, be quiet. They'll hear you.
Ooh, I gotcha. We're being intrepidatious. We're out to discover!
I've never seen a human this close before.
Eric plays a flute.
Oh. He's very handsome, isn't he?
Scuttle looks at Max.
I don't know, he looks kind of hairy and slobbery to me.
Not that one. The one playing the snarf blow.
Silence! Silence! It is now my honor and privilege to present our esteemed Prince Eric with a very special, very expensive, very large birthday present.
Ah, Grimsby, you old beanpole, you shouldn't have.
I know. Happy birthday, Eric.
It's a huge statue of Eric as a mighty warrior.
Gee, Grim. It's really something.
Yes, I commissioned it myself. Of course, I had hoped it would be a wedding present.
Come on, Grim, don't start. Look, you're not still sore because I didn't fall for the Princess of Glowerhaven, are you?
Oh, Eric, it isn't me alone. The entire kingdom wants to see you happily settled down with the right girl.
Oh, she's out there somewhere.
Ariel listens.
I just haven't found her yet.
Well, perhaps you haven't been looking hard enough.
Oh, believe me, Grim, when I find her, I'll know. Without a doubt, it'll just, bam, hit me. Like lightning.
They look up at the thick, dark clouds. Lightning flashes.
Hurricane a-coming! Stand fast! Secure the rigging!
Eric and the sailors run to different parts of the deck as rain starts to fall and giant waves swell up, rocking the ship. The crew pulls hard on ropes tied to a sail. In the ocean, a wave crashes over Flounder and Sebastian. On board, Scuttle holds onto a rope.
Whoa, the wind's all of a sudden on the move here! Yo!
A gust pulls him away, flapping upward, twirling into the dark sky. On board, the captain tries to hold the ship's wheel, but it spins out of his hands. The ship plows down a hill-sized wave. Water crashes over the deck. Eric runs to the wheel and grabs it. On the side of the ship, Ariel loses her grip and falls into the water. Swimming underneath, she surfaces near the stern and sees a flash of lightning strike a sail. Flames break out, and the ship heads towards sharp, jutting rocks. Ariel gapes. On board, Eric points. The ship rams into the rocks. The jolt sends Eric and the crew overboard. The statue of Eric sinks below the waves beside Grimsby, who flaps his arms trying to swim.
Grim, hang on!
Eric pulls him into a lifeboat, then sees Max still on the ship.
Max.
Eric dives into the water and climbs up the side of the burning ship. As he leaps onto the deck, one of the tall masts breaks and crashes down. Flames spread toward a box of leftover fireworks. Max stands on the edge of an upper deck.
Jump, Max! Come on, boy, jump! What have you been doing, Max?
Max jumps into his arms. As Eric runs, his foot breaks through the deck and gets stuck. Max splashes into the water, then reaches the lifeboat. Flames light the fireworks and gunpowder. The ship explodes in a ball of fire. In the lifeboat, Grimsby and the crew stare in horror. Ariel swims toward the floating wreckage. All around her, barrels and pieces of wood bob in the water. Ariel spots Eric hanging onto a board. Unconscious, he slips off and sinks below the surface. Ariel dives down, grabs him under the arms, and swims upward with him. At the surface, thick smoke billows from the ship, and the leftover fireworks burst in the air. Daytime. On a beach, Eric lies on his back, still unconscious, with Ariel leaning over him. Scuttle lands beside them.
Is he dead?
It's hard to say.
Scuttle picks up one of Eric's feet and listens to it.
Oh, I can't make out a heartbeat.
No, look! He's breathing. He's so beautiful.
She touches his cheek.
What would I give to live where you are? What would I pay to stay here beside you? What would I do to see you smiling at me? Where would we walk? Where would we run? If we could stay all day in the sun, just you and me, and I could be part of your world.
Eric's blue eyes open. As Max licks his face, Ariel dives into the water.
Oh, you really delight in these sadistic strains on my blood pressure, don't you?
A girl rescued me. She was singing. She had the most beautiful voice.
Eric, I think you've swallowed a bit too much seawater.
Off we go.
Ariel hides with Sebastian and Flounder.
We just gotta forget this whole thing ever happened. The Sea King will never know. You won't tell him. I won't tell him. I will stay in one piece.
I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know something's starting right now. Watch and you'll see.
Sits atop a rock, her long red hair blowing in the wind. Behind her, the eels, Flotsam and Jetsam, rise from the water. Back in her cave, the Sea Witch watches.
Oh, no, 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 no. I can't stand it. It's too easy. The child is in love with a human. And not just any human. A prince.
Her daddy'll love that.
King Triton's headstrong, lovesick girl would make a charming addition to my little garden.
Attached to the floor, hundreds of tiny shriveled creatures with sad eyes squirm and shake. In Triton's palace, Ariel's sisters wait in a dome-shaped tower.
Ariel, dear, time to come out. You've been in there all morning.
She floats out from behind a curtain.
What is with her lately?
Ariel picks a red flower, then swims away. She bumps into Triton.
Oh, morning, Daddy.
Well.
She sticks the flower behind his ear, then glides out of the room.
Oh, she's got it bad.
What? What has she got?
Isn't it obvious, Daddy? Ariel's in love.
Ariel? In love?
Sebastian.
Okay, so far, so good. I don't think the king knows.
A flower petal falls on him.
But it will not be easy keeping something like this a secret for long.
Ariel plucks petals from a sea flower.
He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. I knew it.
Ariel, stop talking crazy.
I gotta see him again. Tonight. Scuttle knows where he lives.
Ariel, please. Will you get your head out of the clouds and back in the water where it belongs?
I'll swim up to his castle. Then Flounder will splash around to get his attention, and then
down
we'll go...
Down here is your home. Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more are you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While the devoting full time, you're floating under the sea.
He joins a lobster playing clamshells.
Down here all the fish is happy, as off through the waves they roll. The fish on the land ain't happy, it's hard cause they in the bowl. But fish in the bowl is lucky, they in for a worse of fate. One day when the boss get hungry,
guess who gonna be on the plate?
What? No, under the sea, under the sea. Nobody beat us, fry us and eat us in fricassee. We want the land folks not to cook. Under the sea we have the hook. We got no trouble. Life is the bubbles under the sea.
Under the sea.
Four snails sing back up.
Since life is sweet here, we got the beat here naturally.
Even
the sturgeon and the ray, they get the air to start to play. We got to hear it, you got to hear it under the sea. The nude play the flute, the cop play the hop, the place play the bass, the sound the chop, the bass play the brass, the chop play the top. The flute is the duke of soul. The ray he can play the lings on the strings. The chop rocking on the blackfish, he sings the smelt and the sprat. They know where it's at, they know that blowfish blow.
Flounder swims past the dancing sea creatures. A Caribbean fish pulls Flounder in with a strand of seaweed and shimmies her bottom against his. Flounder slips away, finds Ariel, and whispers in her ear. She smiles and swims away, following him. The sea creatures dance in a conga line. A tiny fish plays the teeth of a bigger fish.
Under the sea, under the sea, wind is a leaving in the beginning, music to me. What do they got? A lot of sand. We got a hot crusty sea on band. Each little clown here know how to jam here under the sea. Each little slug here cutting a rug here under the sea. Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hotter under the water. Yeah, we in luck here down in the muck here under the sea.
Everyone points to Ariel's empty place.
Ariel? Oh, somebody's got to nail that girl's fins to the floor.
Sebastian!
The seahorse, Paige.
Sebastian, I've been looking all over for you. I've got an urgent message from the Sea King.
The Sea King?
He wants to see you right away. Something about Ariel.
He knows.
At the palace.
Hey, let's see now. Oh, who could the lucky merman be?
Triton gazes at the red flower, then sees Sebastian.
Come in, Sebastian.
I mustn't overreact. I must remain calm.
The little crab scampers down a long path to the towering throne. He stops before it and looks up at Triton.
Yes!
Yes, Your Majesty.
Yes, Sebastian, I'm concerned about Ariel. Have you noticed she's been acting peculiar lately?
Peculiar?
You know, mooning about, daydreaming, singing to herself. You haven't noticed, Sebastian. I know you've been keeping something from me.
Keeping something?
About Ariel?
Sebastian stops his knocking knees.
Ariel?
In love?
I tried to stop her, sir. She wouldn't listen. I told her to stay away from humans. They are bad. They are trouble.
Humans? What about humans?
Humans? Who said anything about humans?
Out in the ocean, Ariel opens the cave door.
Flounder, why can't you just tell me what this is all about?
You'll see. It's a surprise.
The statue of Eric stands in the middle of the cave.
Flounder. Flounder, you're the best. It looks just like him. It even has his eyes. Why, Eric, run away with you? This is all so sudden.
At the mouth of the cave, Triton appears.
Daddy,
His eyes glare. Flounder hides.
I consider myself a reasonable merman. I set certain rules, and I expect those rules to be obeyed.
But, Daddy,
it true you rescued a human from drowning?
Daddy, I had
to... Contact between the human world and the merworld is strictly forbidden. Ariel, you know that. Everyone knows that.
He would have died.
One less human to worry about.
You don't even know him.
Know him? I don't have to know him. They're all the same. Spineless, savage, harpooning fish eaters. Incapable of any feeling.
Daddy, I love him!
No. Have you lost your senses completely? He's a human. You're a mermaid.
I don't care.
So help me, Ariel. I am going to get through to you. And if this is the only way, so be it.
Bolts shoot from his golden trident and destroy a globe. He points the trident at the treasures around the room and they explode. Eyes glowing, his gaze settles on the statue of Eric.
Daddy! No!
A bolt hits the stone statue. It crackles into thousands of pieces, then explodes in a ball of bubbling light. Ariel collapses face down, sobbing. Flounder and Sebastian watch as Triton leaves with his head bowed sadly. Sebastian creeps to Ariel's side.
Ariel,
just go away.
Sebastian pushes out his lower lip, then turns to leave. Pouting, Flounder follows, leaving Ariel alone crying on the floor of the cave. At the top of the cave, the eels, Flotsam and Jetsam, slither in and look down at Ariel.
Poor child. Poor sweet child. She has a very serious problem. If only there was something we could do. But there is something.
Who are you?
Don't be scared. We represent someone who can help you. Someone who can make all your dreams come true. Just imagine you and your prince together forever.
I don't understand.
Ursula has great powers.
The Sea Witch? Why, that's... I couldn't possibly. No! Get out of here! Leave me alone!
Suit yourself. That was only a suggestion.
They slink away, batting a piece of the stone statue toward Ariel. Looking up, she sees that it's Eric's face. She picks up the stone piece and gazes at it.
Wait!
Yes?
Outside, Flounder and Sebastian wait.
Poor Ariel.
I didn't mean to tell. It was an accident.
Ariel swims past with the two eels.
Ariel, where are you going? Ariel, what are you doing here with this riffraff?
I'm going to see Ursula.
Ariel, no! No, she's a demon! She's a monster!
Why don't you go tell my father? You're good at that.
She shakes him off her flipper.
But I... Come on!
Sebastian and Flounder race after them. Later, Flotsam and Jetsam lead Ariel toward a sinister castle shaped like the skeleton of a sea monster. An eerie light glows from inside. As they swim toward the mouth, Ariel stops.
This way.
Ariel tenses at the fanged entrance, then follows them into a glowing tunnel lined with Ursula's shriveled creatures. They look up at Ariel with gaping mouths and sad eyes. One twists around her arm. She pulls free and stares at them.
Come in. Come in, my child. We mustn't lurk in doorways. It's rude. One might question your upbringing.
Ursula sits at a dressing mirror.
Now, then, you're here because you have a thing for this human, this prince fellow. Not that I blame you. He is quite a catch, isn't he? Well, angelfish, the solution to your problem is simple.
She smears on bright red lipstick.
The only way to get what you want is to become a human yourself.
Can you do that?
My dear, sweet child, that's what I do. It's what I live for, to help unfortunate merfolk like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to. I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch. But you'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways, repented, seen the light, and made a switch. 2 years. And I fortunately knew a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And here lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, lonely, and depressed.
She opens up a glowing cauldron.
Poor unfortunate souls in pain, in need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed. Those poor unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cauldron, crying, spells, Ursula, please, and I help them. Yes, I do. Now it's happened once or twice. Someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake them across the coals. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint. To those poor, unfortunate souls. Now, here's the deal. I will make you a potion that will turn you into a human for 3 days. Got that? 3 days. Now listen, this is important. Before the sun sets on the 3rd day, you've got to get dear old Princey to fall in love with you. That is, he's got to kiss you. Not just any kiss. The kiss of true love. If he does kiss you before the sun sets on the 3rd day, you'll remain human permanently. But if he doesn't, you turn back into a mermaid, and you belong to me.
No, Ariel!
The eels wrap around Sebastian.
Have we got a deal?
If I become human, I'll never be with my father or sisters again.
That's right. But you'll have your man. Life's full of tough choices, isn't it? Oh, and there is one more thing. We haven't discussed the subject of payment. You can't get something for nothing, you know.
But I don't have
it. I'm not asking much. Just a token, really, a trifle. You'll never even miss it. What I want from you is your voice.
My voice?
You've got it, sweet cakes. No more talking, singing, zip.
But without my voice, how can I...
You'll have your looks, your pretty face. And don't underestimate the importance of body language. The men up there don't like a lot of blabber. They think a girl who gossips is a bore. Yes, on land it's much preferred for ladies not to say a word. And after all, dear, what is idle prattle for? Come on, they're not all that impressed with conversation. True gentlemen avoid it when they can. But they dote and swoon and fawn on a lady who's withdrawn. It's she who holds her tongue who gets a man. Come on, you poor unfortunate soul.
Ursula starts to brew a potion.
Make your choice. I'm a very busy woman and I haven't got all day. It won't cost much. Just your voice, your poor unfortunate soul. It's sad, but true. If you want to cross a bridge, my sweet, you've got to pay the toll. Take a gulp and take a breath and go ahead and sign the scroll. Got some jetsam, now I've got her, boys. The boss is on a roll. This poor unfortunate soul.
Ariel signs a contract. Ursula waves her hands over the potion.
Aluga, Savruga, come winds of the Caspian Sea. Now brings us glossitis, next laryngitis, the voce to me. Now sing.
Keep singing! glowing green current whips around Ariel, and two ghostly hands loom over her. The smoky hands reach into Ariel's mouth and pull out a shining ball containing her voice. Ursula holds out a small spiral shell that sucks in the voice. Sparks fly out from Ursula's cauldron, and a bubble of light traps Ariel, lifting her up. Her flipper tail splits in half, becoming legs. She paddles her arms and new legs, trying to swim. Sebastian and Flounder grab her and rush her to the surface. Ariel holds her breath. She springs into the air, arching her back. Slumping down into the water, she puts her arms over Sebastian and Flounder, and they swim her to the shore. At the water's edge, the sun shines on a castle with rounded towers topped with bright flags. Eric sits on a rock, playing his tin flute.
That voice. I can't get it out of my head. I've looked everywhere, Max. Where could she be?
In a cove further along the shoreline, Sebastian collapses on a rock. Nearby, Ariel leans against another rock. Pushing her long, wet hair out of her face, she looks down at her knees, poking out of the water. She stares, then lifts her foot in the air and wiggles her new toes.
Well, look at what the catfish dragged in.
Scuttle lands on her leg.
Look at you. Look at you. There's something different. Don't tell me. I got it. It's your hairdo, right? You've been using a dinglehopper, right?
She shakes her head.
No? No, huh? Well, let me see. New seashells? No new seashells. I gotta admit, I can't put my foot on it right now, but if I just stand here long enough, I know
she's
that
got legs, you idiot! She traded her vice to the sea witch and got legs. Jeez, man.
I knew that.
Ariel's been turned into a human. She's gonna make the prince fall in love with her, and he's gonna kiss her.
And she's only got 3 days.
Ariel tries to stand, but falls over.
Just look at her! On legs! On human legs! My nerves are shot! This is a catastrophe! What would her father say? I'll tell you what her father'd say. He'd say he's gonna kill himself a crab! That's what her father'd say! I'm gonna march myself straight home right now and tell him just like I could have done the minute. And don't you shake your head at me, young lady. Maybe there's still time. If we could get that witch to give you back your voice, you could go home with all the normal fish and just be...
Ariel's eyes grow sad.
Just be miserable for the rest of your life. All right. I'll try to help you find that prince.
Grinning, Ariel kisses Sebastian, then sets him down.
Bye. What a soft shell I'm turning out to be.
Now, Ariel, I'm telling you, if you want to be a human, the first thing you gotta do is dress like one. Now, let me see.
He picks up cloth from a sail. Down the shore, Eric walks with Max. Max sniffs the air.
Max?
Max hops excitedly in front of Eric, then takes off down the beach.
Max!
Around the corner, Ariel wears a baggy sailcloth dress.
You look sensational.
Flounder sees Max. Max chases Ariel up onto a rock, then licks her face. Smiling, Ariel sees Eric around the corner.
Max! Quiet, Max!
Max tugs at his leg.
What's gotten into you, fella? Oh. Oh, I see.
Max runs back to the rock where Ariel sits.
Are you okay, miss? I'm sorry if this knucklehead scared you. He's harmless, really.
Eric gazes at her grinning face.
You seem very familiar to me. Have we met?
She nods.
We have met. I knew it. You're the one. The one I've been looking for. What's your name?
She opens her mouth.
What's wrong? What is it?
She taps her throat.
You can't speak? Oh. Oh, then you couldn't be who I thought.
Max and Ariel both let out frustrated sighs. Then Ariel waves her arms.
What is it? You're hurt? No, you need help.
She moves her hand like a fish, then falls over. Eric holds her, helping her to stand.
Gee, you must have really been through something. Don't worry. Don't worry, I'll help you. Come on. Come on, you'll be okay.
As Eric leads Ariel away, Scuttle gives her a thumbs up. Later at the castle, a plump maid pours water over her in a bathtub.
Washed up from a shipwreck. Oh, the poor thing. We'll have you feeling better in no time.
Sebastian hides in Ariel's sailcloth dress. The maid picks it up.
I'll just get this washed for you.
Sebastian falls into a tub of suds with the dress.
Well, you must have at least heard about this girl.
No!
A woman rubs the dress down a washboard. Sebastian burps soap.
I mean, really.
The woman squeezes a shirt through a wringer, flattening Sebastian with it. He crawls into the shirt pocket as she hangs it up on a clothesline. As the shirt slides past a window, Sebastian jumps out, landing on a butcher block in a kitchen. His eyes bug out at a platter displaying stuffed crabs. Sebastian faints. Now in a grand dining room.
Oh, Eric, be reasonable. Nice young ladies, just don't swim around rescuing people in the middle of the ocean and then flitter off into oblivion like some...
I'm telling you, Grim, she was real. I'm going to find that girl. And I'm going to marry her.
Come on, honey. Don't be shy.
The maid leads Ariel into the room. She wears a beautiful pink dress with puffy sleeves.
Oh, Eric, isn't she a vision?
You look wonderful.
Come, come, come. You must be Spanish. Let me help you, my dear.
Eric gazes at her as Grimsby offers her a chair.
That's better. Oh, quite comfy. Hmm?
Ariel stares at her fork.
It's not often that we have such a lovely dinner guest, eh, Eric?
Ariel combs her hair with the fork, then notices the men staring at her and puts it down. Grimsby lights up his pipe. He sees Ariel smiling at it and hands it to her.
Do you like it? It is rather fine.
She blows into it, covering Grimsby with ashes.
Sorry, Grim.
Why, Eric, that's the first time I've seen you smile in weeks.
Oh, very amusing. Carlotta, my dear, what's for dinner?
Oh, you're gonna love it. Chef's been fixing his specialty, stuffed crab.
In the kitchen, Sebastian watches the chef take out a bowl of fish.
Les poissons, how I love les poissons. Love to chop them and to serve little fish. First I cut off their heads and I pull out their bones. Ah, mais oui, ça c'est toujours délicieux. Les poissons, with a cleaver I hack them in two. I pull out what's inside and I serve it up. I've got a love, little fishes, don't you? Here's something for tempting the palate. Preparing the classic technique. First you pound the fish flat with the mallet. Then you slash through the skin, give the belly a slice. Then you rub some salt in, cause that makes it just nice.
He finds Sebastian.
Zut alors, I have missed one. Sacrebleu, what is this? How on earth could I miss such a sweet little succulent crab? Quel dommage, what a loss. Here we go, in the sauce. Now some flour, I think, just enough. Now I'll stuff you with bread. It don't hurt, cause you're dead. And you're certainly lucky you are. Cause it's gonna be a hot in magic silver pot. To the moon, poisson, au revoir.
Sebastian flies through the air toward the boiling pot, but catches the rim and jumps out. The chef turns.
What is this?
Sebastian pinches him. The chef tries to grab him again and burns his hand on the stove. A pan drops on his foot. He hops on one foot, then grabs all the knives from a knife block and throws them. Sebastian runs under a cabinet, and the chef chops it in half with a giant cleaver. Sebastian dashes across the floor to a huge pantry stocked with plates and glasses. The chef runs across the kitchen with a mallet raised over his head. Ow!
I think I'd better go see what Louis is up to.
The maid hurries from the dining room, back in the kitchen.
Come out, you little pipsqueak, and fight like a man!
Louis! What are you doing?
No, I'm sorry, madame.
The maid carries out the dinner plates.
You know, Eric, perhaps our young guest might enjoy seeing some of the sights of the kingdom. Something in the way of a tour.
I'm sorry, Grim, what was that?
You can't spend all your time moping about. You need to get out. Do something, have a life. Get your mind off.
Sebastian sits on Grimsby's plate.
That's not a bad idea.
Sebastian runs to Ariel's plate.
Well, what do you say? Would you like to join me on a tour of my kingdom tomorrow?
Wonderful. Now, let's eat before this crab wanders off my plate.
He stabs his fork at his empty plate. That night, Ariel looks out a window and smiles as she watches Eric play with Max below. Max jumps up and licks Eric's face with his big pink tongue. Eric ruffles Max's fur, then looks up toward Ariel's window. Seeing her watching, he waves. Ariel waves shyly, then backs away into her room.
This has got to be, without a doubt, the single most humiliating day of my life.
She pats his head.
I hope that you appreciate what I go through for you, young lady. Now, we got to make a plan to get that boy to kiss you. Tomorrow, when he takes you for that ride, you gotta look your best. You gotta botch your eyes like this. You gotta puckle up your lips like this.
He sticks out his lips, then notices that Ariel is asleep on the big bed. Smiling, Sebastian blows out a candle on the nightstand and hops onto the pillow beside her.
You are hopeless, child. You know that. Completely hopeless.
Through a tall window, moonlight streams across the elegant bedroom. In the ocean, the seahorse messenger speeds into Triton's palace.
Any sign of them?
No, Your Majesty. We've searched everywhere. We've found no trace of your daughter or Sebastian.
Well, keep looking. Leave no shell unturned, no coral unexplored. Let no one in this kingdom sleep until she's safe at home.
Yes, sire.
Bowing, the messenger leaves.
Oh, what have I done? What have I done?
Triton sits alone. Morning. At the castle, Grimsby and the maid wave goodbye as Eric and Ariel drive off in a horse-drawn buggy. As they follow a road leading to the town, Ariel leans over the back of the buggy and watches the road pass underneath. In the town, they drive alongside a canal. Flounder leaps through the water and Sebastian hides on the buggy.
Have you kissed her yet?
Not yet.
In the bustling town square, Ariel watches a man push a cart full of chickens. Two puppets perform on a small stage. Ariel picks one up, revealing the puppet master's hand. Beneath a grape arbor, Eric and Ariel dance. Holding her hand, Eric twirls Ariel away, then pulls her back in and lifts her into the air. Later, Scuttle lands beside the canal.
Yo, Flounder, any kissing?
No, not yet.
Well, they better get cracking.
In the buggy, Eric and Ariel ride out of the town. Eric offers Ariel the horse reins. She eagerly snaps them and the buggy races down the road. Eric gapes, seeing a wide gully ahead of them. Ariel speeds up and they soar across the gap. On the other side, Eric peeks up from the floor of the buggy. As they ride off into the countryside, Eric relaxes, folding his hands behind his head. At sunset, Eric and Ariel sit in a rowboat in a lagoon.
Move over. Move your big feathers. I can't see a thing.
Nothing is happening. Only one day left, and that boy ain't puckered up once. Okay, all right, this calls for a little vocal romantic stimulation. Stand back.
He flies up and sits on a branch.
Wow. Somebody should find that poor animal and put it out of its misery.
On the edge of the boat, Sebastian covers his ears.
Jeez, Mum, I'm surrounded by amateurs.
Sebastian grabs a reed to conduct with.
You want something done, you've got to do it yourself. First, we got to create the mood. Percussion.
Ducks tap turtle shells.
Strings. Winds.
words. There you see her, sitting there across the way. She don't got a lot to say, but there's something about her. And you don't know why, but you're dying to try. You wanna kiss the girl.
Did you hear something?
Ariel shrugs.
Yes, you want her. Look at her, you know you do. Possible she wants you to. There is one way to ask her. It don't take a word, not a single word. Go on and kiss the girl. Sing with me now.
Frogs join in.
La 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 la, my oh my, look like you're going to shine. You're gonna kiss the girl. La 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 la, ain't that sad? Ain't it a shame?
Too bad, you're gonna miss the girl.
You know, I feel really bad not knowing your name. Maybe I could guess. Is it, Mildred? Okay, no. How about Diana? Rachel?
Ariel. Her name is Ariel.
Ariel? Ariel?
She nods.
Well, that's kind of pretty. Okay. Ariel.
They hold hands.
Now's your moment. Floating in a blue lagoon. Boy, you better do it soon. No time will be better.
The boat drifts under a willow tree.
And she won't say a word until you kiss the girl.
Fish circle under the boat, turning it slowly. Fireflies surround them with their tiny lights. Flamingos stop Scuttle from singing along. The animals gather around, whispering as Eric leans closer to Ariel. Frogs pucker up. Eric gazes into Ariel's eyes. Their lips nearly touch. The boat flips.
Whoa, hang on. I've got you.
Flotsam and Jetsam slap their tails in a high five.
Nice work, boys. That was a close one. Too close. The little tramp. Oh, she's better than I thought. At this rate, he'll be kissing her by sunset for sure. Well, it's time Ursula took matters into her own tentacles. Triton's daughter will be mine. And then I'll make him writhe. I'll see him wriggle like a worm on a hook.
She clutches a small spiral shell hanging around her neck and starts to change, becoming thinner and prettier. Nighttime. A full moon hangs low in the sky over Eric's castle. On a terrace, Eric plays his tin flute. As he gazes out to sea, Grimsby approaches.
Eric, if I may say, far better than any dream girl is one of flesh and blood. One warm and caring and right before your eyes.
Eric glances up at a window where Ariel stands, combing her hair with a fork. Eric smiles to himself, then looks sadly at his flute. Gazing firmly at it, he takes a step back and throws it out into the water. He strides toward Ariel's window, then stops. He runs to the edge of the terrace and looks down. On the beach below, a slender woman with black hair walks at the water's edge. Eric strains to see her clearly. The spiral shell hangs around her neck, glowing. An eerie mist seeps from the shell and winds through the air toward Eric. It wraps around him, filling his eyes with a dull, cold light. Morning. Scuttle swoops down over the castle.
Ariel!
He flies into
Ariel,
her bedroom.
Wake up! Wake up! I just heard the news! Congratulations, kiddo! We did it!
What is this idiot babbling about?
Right, as if you two didn't know, huh? The whole town's buzzing about the prince getting himself hitched this afternoon! You know, he's getting married. You silly sidewalker. I just wanted to wish you luck.
catch you later. I wouldn't miss it.
Scuttle flies out. Ariel's eyes grow wide, then she grins. Leaping out of bed, she scoops up Sebastian in her hands and spins around, then hurries out of the room. Stopping on a landing, she sees Eric below with a black-haired woman.
Well, Eric, it appears that I was mistaken. This mystery maiden of yours does, in fact, exist.
Ariel stares. And Eric stands stiffly in a trance at the woman's side.
Congratulations, my dear.
We wish to be married as soon as possible.
Oh, yes, of course, Eric, but these things do take time, you know.
This afternoon, Grimsby. The wedding ship departs at sunset.
Oh, very well, Eric. As you wish.
The black-haired woman sees Ariel running back to her room and sneers. She glances at the shell around her neck. Late that afternoon, the sun turns the sky and the ocean golden yellow. At Eric's castle, an elegant ship with dozens of oars instead of sails moves away from a dock. As the ship drifts out onto the ocean, Ariel stands alone on the dock watching. She draws quick breaths and tears well up in her eyes. Sinking to the ground, she pulls her knees close and cries. Sebastian looks up at her, then sadly bows his head. A tear rolls down Ariel's cheek and drops into the water, sending out a small ring of waves. Nearby, Flounder cries too, as the wedding ship glides farther and farther away. Over the ship, Scuttle swoops down from the sky.
Rum, dum, ra-dum, dum.
What a lovely little bride, I'll make my dear all look divine.
Scuttle peeks through one of the ship's portholes.
Things are working out according to my ultimate desire.
The black-haired woman.
Soon I'll have that little mermaid and the ocean will be mine.
In a mirror, she reflects Ursula's face.
The sea witch.
Oh, no. She's gonna... I got it.
He bumps his head.
Ariel! Ariel!
He lands on the dock.
Ariel! I was flying. Of course I was flying. I saw the watch. The witch was watching the mirror, and she was singing with a stolen set of pipes.
Do you hear what I'm telling you? The prince is marrying the sea witch in disguise.
Are you sure about this?
Have I ever been wrong? I mean when it's important.
What are we going to do?
Ariel gazes at the setting sun.
For the sun sets on the third day.
Ariel dives into the water, then splashes around helplessly. Sebastian cuts free some barrels.
Ariel, grab onto that. Flounder, get onto that boat as fast as your fins can carry you.
I'll try.
I gotta get to the Sea King. He must know about this.
What about me? What about me?
You find a way to stall that wedding.
Stall the wedding. What am I? What? That's it!
Scuttle takes off. Flying over the lagoon, he alerts the other birds and animals. Bluebirds and flamingos follow him. Dolphins raise their noses.
Move it! Let's go! We got an emergency here!
Two seals dive into the water and follow. On the ship, the wedding begins. The black-haired woman walks down the aisle with Eric, kicking Max as she passes him. A short bishop stands at the end of the aisle.
Dearly beloved.
Flounder pulls the barrel.
Don't worry, Ariel. We're going to make it. We're almost there.
On the ship.
Yes. Do you, Eric, take Venetia to be your lawfully wedded wife for as long as you both shall live?
I do.
Do you?
A squadron of bluebirds zooms down from the sky aimed at the black-haired woman. She ducks. They circle around and fly under her dress. Max smiles and jumps excitedly. Guests stare as two seals leap on deck. Pelicans fly by and dump beakfuls of water on her. Starfish smother her.
Then by the power...
Get away from me, you slimy little...
One of the seals tosses her in the air on its nose. In the water, Flounder and Ariel reach the ship. On deck, the seal bounces the black-haired woman onto the wedding cake. Scuttle screams in her face.
Oh, why, you little...
As she squeezes his neck, Max breaks off his leash and bites her rear end. Scuttle pulls the shell off her neck. It flies through the air and breaks near Ariel's feet. Eric snaps out of his trance and a glowing mist wraps around Ariel. The voice ball returns to her throat.
Ariel?
Eric!
You can talk. You're the one.
Eric, get away from her!
It was you all the time.
Oh, Eric, I wanted to tell you.
As Eric holds her close, the sun dips below the horizon.
You're too late!
Ariel's legs become a flipper.
You're too late!
The black-haired woman bursts from her dress, becoming Ursula. She races across the deck on her arms and slithering octopus legs.
So long, lovely boy.
She dives over with Ariel.
Poor little princess. It's not you I'm after. I've a much bigger fish to...
Ursula, stop!
Why, King Triton? How are you?
Let her go.
Not a chance, Triton. She's mine now. We made a deal.
Daddy, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
He zaps a golden beam at Ursula and the contract. The contract is unharmed.
You see? The contract's legal, binding, and completely unbreakable. Even for you. Of course, I always was a girl with an eye for a bargain. The daughter of the great Sea King is a very precious commodity. But I might be willing to make an exchange for someone even better.
Eric, what are you doing?
Grim, I lost her once. I'm not gonna lose her again.
Eric rows a lifeboat.
Now, do we have a deal?
Scowling, Triton aims his trident at the contract and signs his name.
Ha! It's done, then!
A current spins around Triton, shrinking him.
Oh, no!
At the surface, Eric stands in a boat, aiming a harpoon. Underwater, Sebastian gapes at Triton, now a tiny, shriveled creature.
Your Majesty.
Daddy?
At last.
No.
It's mine.
She puts on Triton's crown and holds his three-pronged trident. Ariel glares. She springs at her.
You monster!
Don't fool with me, you little brat! Contract or no, I'll...
Eric's harpoon hits her arm.
Eric, look out!
After him!
Flotsam and Jetsam chase Eric as he swims for the surface. He reaches his boat, but they pull him back underwater. Sebastian and Flounder attack. Sebastian pinches one eel and Flounder smacks the other.
Say goodbye to your sweetheart.
She aims the trident at Eric, but Ariel tips her and it hits the eels.
Babies! My poor little poopsies.
Tiny bits of flotsam and jetsam sink down into her hands. Ursula sees Ariel escaping. Gritting her teeth, she surrounds herself in a black cloud and starts to grow.
Eric, you've got to get away from here.
No, I won't leave you.
A giant spike from Ursula's crown shoots up between them. Then Ursula rises from the water, her head as big as a house. Ariel and Eric jump off her crown into the water. Ursula towers over them as tall as a skyscraper.
You pitiful, insignificant fool!
Look out!
One of her tentacles crashes down.
The ruler of all the ocean! The waves obey my every whim!
A wave sweeps Eric away from Ariel.
The sea and all its toils bow to my power!
She swirls the trident in the water, starting a whirlpool. The spinning funnel reaches to the ocean floor, churning up sunken ships. Ariel dodges the wreckage. One of the ships veers toward Eric, and he tries to swim away.
Eric!
He gets shoved underwater. Gliding along the bottom of one of the ships, he grabs onto a rope and pulls himself up the side onto the deck. At the edge of the whirlpool, Ariel clings to a rock. Ursula points the trident at it. The rock explodes, and Ariel falls to the bottom of the whirlpool, a bare spot on the ocean floor. Ursula shoots bolts at her from the trident. On the ship, Eric dashes across the deck to the steering wheel. As Ursula looks down at Ariel, Eric steers the ship's splintered prow toward her.
So much for true love!
She raises the trident over her head. Eric turns the ship's wheel, and the sharp prow pierces Ursula's gut. Her eyes flash, and she collapses. The splintered front of the ship runs all the way through her body. With lightning flashing inside her, she starts to sink. Her long black tentacles twist and writhe, then disappear underwater. On the shore, Eric crawls from the water and collapses on the sand. Behind him, black smoke billows from the sea. Underwater, the golden trident falls into Ursula's sea monster castle and changes all of the shriveled creatures back into merpeople. Smiling, they swim out of the dark castle. The trident lands near Triton. Sparks fly around him and he turns back into the king. Daytime. Eric still lies on the shore. Out in the water, Ariel sits on a rock gazing at him. Triton surfaces nearby with Sebastian.
She really does love him, doesn't she, Sebastian?
Well, it's like I always say, Your Majesty. Children got to be free to lead their own lives.
You always say that? Oh. Then I guess there's just one problem left.
And what's that, Your Majesty?
How much I'm going to miss her.
Sebastian looks up at him. The king touches the water with his trident, and it forms a golden path that travels across the surface to Ariel. She looks down, surprised, then smiles at her father. On the shore, Eric wakes up and sees Ariel rising from the water, wearing a sparkling lavender dress. She walks toward him on legs. Eric runs to her and twirls her around. Their lips meet in a kiss. Now, at their wedding, Max jumps up between them and licks their cheeks. As the guests on the ship cheer, Carlotta the maid starts to cry. In the ocean, merpeople gather around the ship and wave. Scuttle lifts Flounder up to the side of the ship and Ariel kisses him. On top of a tall wedding cake, Sebastian sits between a miniature bride and groom, smiling tearfully. Suddenly, he sees Louis the chef raising a knife over him. Sebastian leaps away as Louis chops the cake in half, then chases him around the deck. Sebastian snips a rope with his claw, and a wooden beam swings into Louis's face. His teeth fall out, and he collapses. Sebastian jumps into the water between Scuttle and Flounder.
Yes! Thank you.
On the ship, Ariel looks over the railing at her father. A fountain of water raises him up, and they hug. Behind them, Eric bows to King Triton, and Triton returns a nod. Touching Ariel's cheek, Triton returns to the water. Ariel blows him a kiss, then slips her arm through Eric's. In the water, Triton sweeps his trident through the air, making a sparkling rainbow. As the ship glides beneath the colorful arch, the merpeople wave, then dive into the sea. On the ship, Eric and Ariel's lips meet in a kiss. Fade to black. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Christina Faust. Descriptions read by Wendy Sacchettini. Funding provided by the U.S. Department of Education.
The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more is you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While we're devoting full time to floating under the sea. Down here all the fish is happy, as off through the waves they roll. The fish on the land ain't happy, they sad 'cause they in the bowl. But fish in the bowl is lucky, they in for a worse of fate. One day when the boss get hungry,
yes, you go beyond the plate.
But no, under the sea, under the sea, nobody beat us, fry us, and eat us in fricassee.
We what the land folks loves to cook. Under the sea we have to hook up. We got no troubles. Life is the bubbles under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Since life is sweet here, we got to be here naturally.
Naturally.
Even the sturgeon and the ray, digging the earth to start to play. We got the spirit, you got to hear it under the sea. The lute play, the flute, the top play, the harp, the place play, the bass and the sound, the chop, the bass play, the brass, the chop play, the tom. The flute is the duke of soul. The ray he can play, the lings on the strings, the trout racking out the blackfish. He sings the svelte and the sprat, they know where it's at, they know that blowfish blow. Yeah, under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
When the sun beaming in the beginning, it's music to
me.
What do they got?
A lot of sand.
We got a hot
Pacifican band.
Each little clown here know how to jam here under the sea. Each little slug here cutting a rug here under the sea. Each little snail here know how to wail here. That's why it's hotter under the water. Yeah, we're in luck here down in the muck here under the sea.